Soundstripe.
Welcome to the Business of Beautiful Spaces. I'm your host, Laura Thornton, Principal of Thornton Design. I'm beyond thrilled to bring you this podcast where I am going to share over 25 years of experience in the interior design industry. As an experienced interior designer, I understand the challenges of running a successful business while also creating beautiful and functional spaces for our clients. Throughout my career, I've worked closely with trades and other professionals to bring my clients' vision to life. And along the way, I've learned a thing or two about balancing that creativity and practicality when running a business. In this podcast, I aim to share my knowledge, my insight with you, other designers, covering all the aspects of the interior design industry, from the creative process to the business side of things, from selecting the right materials to managing budgets and timelines. I am going to share all the tips and tricks that I have learned over the years to help you run a successful interior design business. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting out in this industry, this podcast will be for you. I'm looking forward to sharing my experience with you, answering your questions, and helping you navigate the exciting world of interior design. So let's get started on the business of beautiful spaces and explore the art of creating beautiful and functional spaces while running a successful business.
Today in the podcast, we're speaking with Jamie Sparling. She is the owner of Authentic Armor, and she is a mindset coach. Jamie has had an extensive background from being a paramedic to having a very successful interior design career, and now a mindset coach. Her goal is to have people living their authentic lives to be truly happy through her coaching. And with Jamie and myself today, we had quite a long conversation, and it was very telling that there's multiple ways to be able to work with Jamie, or any coach for that matter, on your mindset. And you go back as far as your childhood to figure out what's stemming now, whatever age you are, and how we can apply this specifically in our design businesses as well. And with her extensive background in design, Jamie knows exactly where our pain points are and how to pinpoint those to be able to move forward to whether that is to be more authentic in our life, meaning with family and friends, or if that'll bring us our goals in business. So today we're going to walk through all of this with Jamie, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. There's some tears, there's some laughs, there's a little swearing. So make sure you cover the ears of any little ones in the back seat. And with that, let's move on to talking with Jamie. I'll leave a 5 second. Welcome back to the Business of Beautiful Spaces. Today, we're talking to Jamie. And hi, Jamie. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
I'm excited too. So I'm going to let everyone know that Jamie and I know each other. And so Jamie was a designer in her past life and has now moved on, as we talked about in the intro. And Jamie, will you just jump in and tell us how you've gone from the interior design world to mindset coaching?
Yeah, absolutely. So my journey, my life has been, I've lived 10 different lives. So to go from interior design to mindset coaching, I really got to know myself through running my interior design business and through getting to know myself and doing these different personality assessments and taking courses. I really started to understand what my favorite parts of the design business were. And those were meaningful conversations with people, anybody. So with trades, with my team members, with my clients, and I was just so deeply invested in their lives and seeing the potential in their lives that I have been coaching essentially my entire life, even with my past career as a paramedic, my 12-hour shifts with whoever I was working with. We chatted the entire day. I wanted to know everything and I wanted to guide them through the shit they were going through. And I'm a mom and all that stuff. And I love people. And to relate it to interior design, when we walk as designers, we walk into a space and you can just see the room come together, right? You can see the potential and you can envision it and it's just done. You've already built it in your head. That's how I see people. So with all my experiences, I just see the potential in people and I see the sticking points. I hear the words they're saying, even if they don't realize what they're saying. And I love to guide people into the life of their dreams. As cheesy as that sounds, it's actually possible. I am living proof that it's possible. So that's what I love.
I like that analogy. I like that. I know what you mean. You walk into a room and you can see the potential of that space when the person who lives there cannot.
And the other part of that, I think too, like when you were saying, like you, or if you say like, give me your Pinterest board, and you can see they continuously pick the same thing, but yet they can't pull that out on their own, but you can see past that and you can see what they're constantly referring to. That's a very interesting analogy. I really like that.
Yeah,
so then so now is there training that is involved with becoming a coach?
Well, to be fully transparent, sure there is. Is there training for designers? Absolutely. Did I do any of that? No, not the formal path. For sure, not the formal path. I have taken tons of courses. That's how you and I met, through Power Process.
Yeah.
That's not a formal like university course, but you learn a shit ton of stuff, right? And also through reading over 300 personal development and business development books. Like, I am a junkie for information, which I know people say, oh, like that just leads to burnout and you don't actually do anything with it and all that stuff. I know what my strengths are. I did the Clifton Strengths recently. I don't know if you've ever done it for like your top five. But my strengths, once I actually learned about them, I was like, no shit, I love coaching. It literally, so I'll tell you the five, it doesn't matter if you know them or not. Number one for me is input. Like, I am obsessed with information and I'm a hoarder of information. So at some point I will like dig into the file and be like, oh, you have this problem? Read this book. Or I'll flip to the page of like exactly what you need, like really resourceful. My number two is strategic. So no matter what situation is going on. So as a designer, you go and you have a ton of issues that come up and you're like, okay, these are my three different options. What path am I going to take so that my client doesn't hate me? Right? Like, so you can find a strategy. Number three for me is learner. So I'm just always learning, but I do something with it. It's not just for entertainment purposes. Number four is maximizer. So I can envision the life that I like to live. And I literally have created it every single chapter of my life. Like, I can, for some reason that just works. And I can provide that for my clients as well. I can see where they would like to go, even if they can't. And I help them to take the steps to get there. And then my fifth one is relator. So relator is those deep interpersonal connections, one-on-one stuff. So I probably will never be doing group coaching because I cannot, that is not my vibe. That would not be authentic for me. I love one-on-one. Like, this makes me happy. If I had five people to talk to right now, I'd be like shitting myself. Right. So like, this is what I love. I love. Yeah. So I don't even know what the question was now, but
no, it's okay. And so, okay. So can we define mindset coaching, just so everyone, before we dive even deeper, what does that mean? What does that look like?
Sure. So I'm sure there is an actual definition for this. For me, mindset coaching is looking at the words that you say to yourself, to other people, the words that you take in and how you're perceiving it. So it's all about perception. And when you go through certain things in your life, your perception changes. So you're either opening your mind or you're becoming more closed-minded and fixed mindset. So mindset coaching for me is going through with a fine-tooth comb or a microscope or whatever to see, how are you thinking? What are you thinking? And why do you think those things? Is that your mother's voice that you're hearing that phrase on repeat because you were like programmed as a child to think those things? Like, so money doesn't grow on trees, right? Like, all the silly little things, family is everything. All the little things that play through our mind, whether we're sitting by ourselves, just doing whatever, or a problem comes up and then we tell ourselves like, oh, we're not good enough. Oh my God, I'm not lovable. That person didn't say thank you to me. I'm being ghosted. What did I do wrong? All those things that we're telling ourselves, no matter what career you're in, but especially interior design, you can get in your head so much. And living there, it needs to be a positive, happy environment that is like talking to yourself like it's your best friend. You can be your worst enemy, or you could be your biggest cheerleader. So mindset is, for me, words. They're so impactful.
Totally. And when you were saying that, I'm nodding along because, of course, we all have those things that my parents were both immigrants that grew up with nothing. And so they came to Canada for a better life. And I have heard that money doesn't grow on trees my whole life. And I was like, sure, it does. It does. It may not be a literal thing, but it doesn't mean that it can limit you. And you shouldn't, like, I had to and my parents are lovely. Do not get me wrong. They are good people, very supportive. But of course, this is passed down behaviors and thoughts. And so it took me a long time to unlearn that and not pass that on. And those things, like you just said right there, like, money doesn't grow on trees. Or like, I remember, like, turn the lights off. Who do you think? Like, you know, like, money doesn't grow on trees. Turn the lights off. And it wasn't until I went to university, I had my first apartment, where I got the the bill for our electrical. And I turned to the two girls I lived with, who is now one of them is my sister-in-law, another was still my best friend. I'm like, money, this really does cost money. It really does cost money to turn the lights on, because you just kind of like heard it and it just, but it's in there. You can't not hear it. So it took me a long time to unprogram. I call it unprogramming. I'm probably not using the right verbiage, but to unprogram a lot of that thought process and not pass it on, or to not be negative, because I'm Irish descent and we tend to be very negative in a lot of ways. And so it was hard to unteach myself to not repeat the things that I had learned. And I wasn't equating it to mindset, but the words are powerful. It is powerful how you wake up and how you go to bed and what you say to yourself before you go to sleep. Like, I know we're going to get there, but I did read on your website about affirmations, and that's something I've done for about 20 years. I wake up in the morning and I start with the same things. I repeat it, so I don't jump right into list making as I do for work. And the same thing when I go to bed. I can't turn my brain off. So how I trained myself to fall asleep was via affirmation. And so I fully agree with you, which is why I feel like this podcast will be so powerful for a lot of people. So regardless of how you want to coin mindset or coach it, I still feel like there's a lot of value in retraining and rewiring how you, and again, I'm probably not using the right verbiage, and you can correct.
Oh, use whatever words you want.
But I just think it's so important how you speak to yourself.
Yeah.
The things that you say to yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I know that a lot of people, I know, I don't want to use the wrong verbiage, even though I know you can call it whatever you want, but authentic living is the goal. And the goal is, if you know, regardless if you're an interior designer, or a decorator, or a stager, or just a design enthusiast, I think this can apply in so many places in your life, not just in your business. But can we talk about how that mindset coaching can benefit specifically interior designers, now that you've done this, you know where our negative thoughts go. So I guess my question is, if you're running your own business, how can mindset coaching benefit a designer?
Yeah, so it really helps. So if you're working with a coach, which I highly recommend, it doesn't have to be me, obviously, but I have worked with coaches and they have accelerated my growth and helped me get through my crap that I've carried with me for so long. So I think it helps in every aspect of life. So when you're running an interior design business, you most likely have a spouse or children or hobbies on the side or whatever it is. And for mindset coaching, I really dive into a holistic approach where I'm looking at all aspects of your life, absolutely everything. So is contribution important to you? Is being part of a community and sharing your wisdom important to you? Does that make you feel alive? So with all of the different things, I think the way we are showing up in our lives and the way that we are talking to ourselves and communicating with other people and the connection that we feel and feeling loved, all of that stuff is part of mindset coaching. And I think it can benefit someone running a business, because you have to communicate with clients. You have to put yourself out there on social media, which for me was very difficult to do, realizing I come from a childhood that was rooted in hypercriticism. So I nitpicked myself before other people could do it, because I was constantly critiqued for how I looked. Oh, I look tired. Oh, I look this. Oh, it, like, so showing up visually, like on any, even a single photo shoot, like I wanted to cry and crawl into a hole the first time I had to do a branding photo shoot. So that's mindset. Like, now I can show up. Like, I literally danced around this room today before, like, to get energy and being like, okay, I can do this. It's just a conversation. I can show up and I can be on a podcast. Like, I don't think you're sharing the video, but like, this is uncomfortable for me to sit in front of a screen and be visible. So I now love and accept myself, but it takes mindset work to freaking get there. Like, yeah. It's everything.
I'm the same. I feel the same way. For 20 something years of running my business, there was not a face with my business. You couldn't find a picture of me anywhere. And that was purposeful. I didn't want the face associated. I also had an issue with a bit of a stalker. So that's a whole other thing, I know. Sidebar. Little sidebar story on top of that. So back when Facebook was new, I remember getting all these emails and I was like, I don't know what this is. And then finally, we're talking like 15 years after this had happened. I was in high school when this person was following me and harassing me. And I finally signed up for Facebook. Who do you think the first person that found me was?
No way.
Totally. So I was like, this is why I didn't want to face with like my business. And now to come out and have to be fast forward, like up until like 5 years ago, I did not have a picture. I didn't have a brand. I didn't have anything because I didn't want it. And it, that's one element, but also to your point, I'm not good with it. Like I wasn't good with me. And I found you so authentic. Even I would had no idea, even when it was your design business, that you weren't comfortable. You were so good at doing your stories and so good at having your photo. Like I wouldn't have known that. So
you know how many courses I've taken to even be able to like try to talk to a camera? Like seriously, I have to learn all these skills.
I know. And a marketer told me at one point to do a Monday morning chat on my design business thing, which took everything in me because I had zero interest in doing it. And now I do it almost every Monday. I mean, unless it's a holiday or I'm away, I don't do it. And now I don't think about it. But it was a muscle that I had to train because everything in me, I'm sure if we go back and watch the first ones, it's so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable. And I'm fine with public speaking. I could get up in a room of 500 people and talk, no problem. But put me on a camera or take my picture and it's like, you can't see I'm making the most horrible face. Like I become like Urkel. So I can appreciate that too. And I'm sure a lot of designers who are trying to put out their social media feel the same way because it doesn't feel authentic. It doesn't feel, you know, real, but you get better at it as you do things. And I'm assuming, because I thought yours was very natural. I would assume whoever's watching it doesn't recognize that you're that uncomfortable.
And that goes back to mindset. That's like, who are you speaking to and why are you doing it? I'm not doing it for likes. I'm not doing it for followers. I am doing it because I'm speaking to a specific person who needs to hear that. And I would like to just say, I am a freaking introvert. I could live my entire life in my house, not ever communicating with anyone outside of it. And I would be fine. I'd be reading books and my husband would be like, do I even have a wife? Where's mom? Like, right? Like I am an introvert. And if I can learn these skills, please believe it is possible. And I have spoken at women's events for retreats. And like, when people ask me to do something that's out of my comfort zone, I'm like, this is an opportunity for growth. Because if other people are showing it's possible and they can do it, why the hell can't I do it? It's just a skill.
That was actually what I was going to ask you.
The more you do it, the more you grow.
Right.
I love it. It's a growth opportunity for me. I'm here to learn.
I mean, you would recommend that for other people too, like to step out of their comfort zone and
in an authentic way. If the why is because you're genuinely trying to help other people, if you're sharing your story, if it's inspirational or you're there to educate, if you're there doing it because your narcissistic friend who has a million followers and has probably paid for them loves the attention that they're getting for external validation, that check yourself, because that is, if your why is misaligned or out of alignment, it's not going to feel good. So the little steps out of your comfort zone are really important, but it's knowing because where you want to get to. So with growing my interior design firm, which I did very well and it was wonderful, I needed to show up. I understood that you need to be visible. If people don't know you exist, how are they going to hire you?
Right.
So I think you need to understand your why for getting out of your comfort zone.
So where would a designer start then? What would you recommend would be a first step to start living authentically or to start thinking about living authentically? What would be the first step you would recommend?
Okay. So I know with my input trait that I want to give you 12 steps right now. So I'm going to try to keep it super narrow. I would highly recommend doing personality assessments to figure out who you are, how you're wired, and then start to question, well, where did that wiring come from? And can I soften any of those things that I just learned about myself that I don't really like? So I love the Enneagram test. I'm an Enneagram 1. And with that certain assessment, it's all linked to some sort of childhood trauma or some sort of childhood wound message that you have carried with your whole life. So there's 9 different types. Mine was that I was not allowed to make mistakes. So whenever I have made a mistake, I'm like, oh my God, I'm a terrible person. I would link any sort of issue with a client project, like, oh, the sofa is going to be delayed by 6 weeks. I would internalize that thinking that somehow I caused that problem. So through mindset and all that stuff, it has changed. But I would say getting to know who you are. So Enneagram is a really good thing. Learning your Clifton strengths, your top 5, or you can do the I think you pay $80 and you can figure out of the 34 strengths, how you rank with each one of them. Because for me, it is really important to understand how, what my strengths truly are and what comes naturally to me for my top five, but then also realizing my bottom five and what I'm really not good at. So why am I going to try to push myself out of my comfort zone to do what I see other people doing when it's not for me? Like, I know I'm not going to do group coaching because that's not my vibe, right? That's not what I naturally am gifted at. So getting to know yourself is the first step before you get into business, or as you're growing your business, personal development, I think, needs to be simultaneously like linked to it. Growing yourself is so important.
So if someone takes these tests, they're basically, before you even touch the business, they're going to learn more about themselves.
Yes.
Right. Get a clear idea of you and yourself, and then that'll help you move through the best avenues for your business or where to take your business based on your personality.
Yeah. Because even the services that you decide to offer, because you can do anything when you get into business, you're like, okay, there are a million different things I could do. You can charge differently. You can do all these different things. That's overwhelming. So like aligning yourself with what feels good to you is important. So do you want to do full service design? Do you want to just do consultation only? Like, what's going to make you feel alive and feel natural and you can grow within that? Do you want to scale your business, or do you want to keep it super simple and be a solo entrepreneur for your life? Like, what are you like? Who are you? And then what do you actually want to grow? Because I scaled my business from reading all these different books and doing all these things and getting outside of my comfort zone. And then I realized my entire role there was leadership. And I'm like, this wasn't what I was going for. Like, I can be a leader. I learned all that stuff. I've mentored a ton of people. I used to take on students when I was a paramedic. I love that. But I also love design, like install days, getting to style things, getting like that lit me up. So then how am I in this leadership role where I'm now training designers to do what I love doing? Like, what? I woke up at a certain point and I was like, this is now getting out of alignment. My dad had also died and my whole life changed, but that's a whole other thing. But yeah, getting to know who you are and then making sure you're doing things that feel aligned to you, and your body will tell you if they feel aligned. Like, you will have signs that are trying to wake you up to say, hey, you're out of alignment. What's going on? Something needs to shift.
And it's so true, because as entrepreneurs, and like your point, it got to you start off in design and you want to run your own business because you love designing. But very quickly, once you have your own company, you realize there's very few hours in the day where you're doing anything creative. I always say we wear many hats because we're the CEO, CFO, we're the HR, we're, you know, at some point you're the designer, lead designer, but that's few and far between. And there's all these other things that are taking up our day that have nothing to do with design.
Yeah.
And now that I have a team and a larger studio, I could literally go all week and not touch a fabric.
Yeah. And sometimes that's okay as you grow as a person, right? Yeah. Like, if that feels aligned, that's awesome.
But that's what I was going to circle back to, because when you were saying, is that actually what you envisioned for your business? Or were you more the person that wanted to be touching the fabrics all day, every day? Because at some point you have to recognize that maybe you need to scale down, and that's okay too. Maybe you don't need to be as big if that means that you touch the fabrics and do the things. And so it sounds like we all need to reassess. First, do some testing, think about the avenue and which, you know, with, like, to your point, like, there's so many different ways you can do design and service and how all the different things, and which way feels better for you as the designer and for you as the business owner. And I like that. I think at some point we just get into our daily routine and stop thinking about it. It just keeps evolving, and you're so busy that you don't put the thought to it that you should.
Yeah. Cause we are usually so busy constantly in motion that we don't sit with ourselves and our thoughts and be like, okay, how do I feel right now? Like, how's life? So I will recommend, this you can even find on YouTube, but the Wheel of Life is an assessment pie chart. Like I had mentioned briefly how I touch on all those different things, looking at your life as a whole and assessing where are you at right now and what's out of alignment. So like, I poured my heart and soul into my business, and that was awesome. And personal development, awesome. But my family time, being present in my life, and my relationship with my husband, like, we were great. We worked together, but like, the romance was shit. Like, the last thing I want to do is be intimate with you when we just talked about like meetings and arranging the warehouse and like whatever right. needed to happen next. Like, so just trying, not finding balance, but just looking at where you are and like, okay, awesome. Let's maintain that over there because I've been killing it, but over here needs some attention and some work. So I need to shift my focus. I need to be present here and I need to say no to whoever is asking me to do whatever next. Thank you so much for considering me. However, no, this needs to be my priority. My kids need to be my priority because they're growing up very quickly.
Yeah.
Like just being present in your life and aware of what the hell is going on and taking a break sometimes. Like actually taking a break. I meditate all the time, but I know some people are like, oh, that's woo-woo and strange. But like that has saved my brain. I love it. I do it every day.
Some people call it a workout. Some people play tennis. I played golf last night. People, whatever outlet you need that yes. turns off the brain, then you have to do it because they're like, I'm not a big, like, I know you kind of, you and I kind of touched on this. I hate the verbiage of, the hustle, like don't hustle. And like, I hate all of that, but, I don't know why, like, I just do, it irks me like to my soul, but I feel like you need to do whatever it takes to get you through the day. And if that's your balance is to meditate, or for me, it's, you know, it's something different, and to somebody else, it's yoga, and to somebody, call it what you will, but that's where you're shutting off your brain to reset. I just call it the reset button on the computer, right? Like we all, once in a while, the computer gets like, it's just not running as fluidly and we have to do a hard reset. I just call it the hard reset.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if we have those thoughts on a loop in the back of your mind, so if, say a client is upset with you or whatever has happened, and you are constantly like trying to think of that email you're going to write because you're currently driving or something, and you have it on in the background, it's like that app is running and refreshing in the background. You're like, holy shit, it's only 5 o'clock and I'm so drained right now. What is going on? Like life seems good, but what's actually happening? So it's when you do sit with yourself and your feelings, and I love journaling and I highly recommend that for people if that works for them. Even if you're like, okay, this is a sidebar. Emotions are so freaking powerful and so important that when I was raised, it was either you were happy or you were anything but happy. And that's terrible. Why aren't you happy? So there's an emotional guidance scale. There's 22 different emotions. And if you are feeling angry, if you're feeling pissed off, if you're irritable, if you are bored, if you are whatever, just fucking say that you're that. Right? Like as females, as parents, it's like we're trying to put on, okay, I'm speaking generally. I was raised to believe that moms were always supposed to be happy. And like, no matter how busy you were, you're like, yes, I'm the best mom ever. And I'm doing my career and I'm doing all the things. Oh, you need me to stop by your house and go do that thing? Sure. Oh yeah. If I'm free, I'll go do this for you. And you're just doing all the things and you're supposed to have a happy face on the entire time. Well, you're allowed to be pissed off. If there is something that enrages you, if you hear the word hustle or hustle culture, and it makes you fucking angry, be angry. So like, I love journaling. There's something called rage on the page. If you're pissed off, set a timer for 20 minutes and write out every single thing that you're pissed off about without judgment and get it out of your body. And before you know it, you're going to be like, oh my God, I feel better. Amazing. So emotions are there to guide us. It's not there for judgment. It's not being like, oh, I'm going to ignore that. I don't know why I'm mad, or I don't know why, whatever. It's just like, use it to guide you and don't think that you always have to be living in this happy, joyful, blissful place. Like you can be all these different things and still be acceptable and loved.
Yeah. No, I totally hear that. Yeah. No, I get that. And I do feel like as generations shift, I feel like that is shifting within itself. I know that I think that also comes with age and confidence. Like I do think that, you know, like as we get older, we know what we don't want. We know I'm sure a lot of women listening know we don't want to turn into our moms in some ways, even though you don't mean that in a negative sense. It's just, you just know that you want something different. But to your point, it is something where like, there are things that irk me and I'm fine with saying, I'll say to someone, I hate that you use that term. I hate that you put that term on there, because it shouldn't be that like you and I were talking about imposter syndrome before. And I said, that term bothers me. Because why does it even need to exist? It sounds like a dirty little term, and it shouldn't be, but it doesn't even make sense to me. Like, why would you want to fake something? Why wouldn't you show up and be authentic in who you are And that should resonate with whatever in area that you're using this imposter syndrome, as I do it in air quotes, because no one can see me except for Jamie. But like, why should that even be a term? Like, why should you be faking anything? Why would you not show up authentically? Why would you not show up as who you are and be unapologetic for that? This is who I am. And if we don't jive on a job site, or we don't jive in a discovery call, there are 10,000 other designers on the Rolodex. Maybe not a Rolodex. Maybe that's the Google. That goes to show my age. That you can pick and find somebody who, you know, niches with you better. And that's why I don't love these terms, because I don't love that you shouldn't. I don't know. Anyway, that's just my perspective. I'd rather you show up to every designer show up authentically as who they are in your best possible way to win over a client based on who you are, as opposed to pretending to be somebody you're not.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think being authentic is a journey, because if you're living for everybody else in your life, which a lot of females do, I know I certainly did. I was in burnout mode all the time, because I'm like trying to make my mom happy, trying to make my grandma happy, trying to like, I would get messages of, oh, your grandma's really upset that she hasn't seen the kids recently. Could you bring them over this weekend? And I'm like, is that really my job to like... Not only was I working at one point five jobs, so I worked as a paramedic in two different counties. I was running my first aid and CPR company, and then I hired more instructors to work for me. I was doing, I worked in concerts and wardrobe and behind the scenes with celebrities and whatever shows needed to go on. And I was also doing design and decorating and staging on the side. So I had five different things going on, and then I was never doing enough and offering, like, I was supposed to then be like, okay, I have a day off, or I have 4 hours off. And now I'm going to be like, oh, who hasn't seen my kids recently? Like, I need to ship them off. I'm so sorry. I haven't like done all those things. So when we are constantly living for other people, which I definitely did very well, because I never looked at myself. I was never like, what do I actually enjoy? What do
well,
I
sounds like
do
you
right
were
now?
Too busy.
I was way too freaking busy. I was a workaholic. Yeah. Absolutely. And I have totally changed my whole life, because I didn't want to be that anymore. I want to be present. I want to fit joy into my life. Like when my dad died, that changed everything for me. I was like, I'm not even living. I'm doing all these things. I am proving to myself that this is possible, but my worth does not come from all the stuff I can show people I'm doing. My worth comes from sitting with myself and actually liking myself, being my authentic self, because I've taken the time to actually get to know myself for the first time ever. What do I like? What do I not like? What do I like? What are my non-negotiables? That's not fucking happening. Or yes, I absolutely want to do that, and I'm going to go after it, and I'm going to achieve it, and I'm going to feel really freaking great doing it. And I am worthy of having whatever life I choose to. So another sidebar. I was mortgage-free at 37 years old, and it's going to make me cry. My mom, I remember buying her first house when she was, I think, 37 or 38. I felt awful that I had everything that I wanted. I live in my dream home in the middle of a forest near the Atlantic Ocean because I chose to. And I've worked my ass off my entire life to get to this point. And I didn't know how to be happy once I got it. I had to literally learn how to be happy. So when I post stuff on social media about like joy and playing and having fun in life, I fucking mean it. Like, I want to wake people up to the lives that they're living, and please be authentic and live for yourself. Who are you living it for? I don't want you to get, I don't need someone on their deathbed to be like, oh, I have all these regrets. This is what I should have done differently. Do it now. If you hear me, switch something up.
Making
right
me
freaking
cry.
Now.
I'm so proud of you. You should be proud of yourself, because like I'm actually crying with you. Because these are the things, I think, the guilt we carry as successful women, that it feels like we shouldn't be proud of ourselves, right? Like I hear you, because I did the same thing. I'm really resonating with you, because all I wanted to do was get out of school and work. I wanted money. I wanted to have my, I wanted security is what I wanted. I wanted to never worry that I wasn't ever going to, you know, be able to live the way I wanted to live or have a house. So I hear everything you're saying, and then you get there and you just keep going, because you, what is the line? Where do you stop? And I just kept going. And now I'm 50 years old. I turned 50 last month, and there was a lot of lessons in my 40s. And one of them being a parent, my dad ended up being, oh shit. He has Parkinson's, and I've watched my dad go from being a person who never sat down in his whole life. My dad was a builder, And he had built custom homes. He did high end luxury custom homes here in Forest Hill in Toronto. And this is all I knew. So I only knew my dad as a hard worker. So now to see my dad have to sit in a chair and not be able to get around on his own or do things on his own is really heart-wrenching. And what it taught me was, to your point, I'm getting there, is that I remember my parents working really hard to make a life for themselves from nothing. And, you know, I was very fortunate. I grew up in a very affluent area. I grew up in a 10,000 square foot home with an indoor pool. Like, they did it. What their idea of success was, they did, because that was their idea as immigrants. It was, you know, have a home and live well, which was great. I want none of that. I don't want a big house. I live in a modest home because that's what's important to me, because I want experiences with my family. I want to travel. I want to do things. And that's shifted heavily when my dad got sick and I saw that my parents worked thinking they were going to retire this great life, and now they can't retire the way that they planned to. And so that shifted for me where my why was and what my goals were. And my goals were to be able to see the world with my husband and my children and travel and have that time with them that you don't get back. And it's funny what I think age comes into play. Sorry, I know we've gone down a really big rabbit hole, but I feel like we're on the same page, because at some point you don't stop and be like, well, wait a sec. When is my line? What is that line? Because I never wrote down what the line was. I never wrote down what the goal was. You just kept going. So you'd pay off the mortgage and you're great. I own this house. Great. Okay. So now what? And we just kept going, because I never stopped to think about what, like, you just kept going. And now I've stopped, and that's why I feel like the coaching and all the things that are offered to us now are so important if you're willing to embrace them, because it actually forces you to take that hour of a week or however often you choose to interact with someone like Jamie to stop and really put thought to the life you want to lead and what's been driving you and how you're getting there. And okay, so you're going to hit this goal. Now what?
Yeah.
Now what? Like, it's hurdle after hurdle, but literally the question is, now what? So I'm going to ask you, like, how do you work with people, they set a goal and then they get there, and now what? What do we do? Yeah.
Yeah. So you say that you don't like the word hustle. I am not a huge goal setter. I am an intention setter. And I like to, it depends on how it works for certain people. If you want to set goal and you want to work towards it and you want to, like, say, this is exactly what I'm doing every single day of the week, and that works for you and that, like, checks a box, then that's awesome. I set intentions. I have a very clear vision of where I'd like to get to. And I take it back a bit, like, okay, well, what skills do I need in order to get there? What mindset shifts do I need in order to get there? Who do I need to expose myself to? That sounds dirty. No. Who do I need to, like, be exposed to, in order to open my mind to see what's possible? So I think when it comes to people on social media and comparison, when we're scrolling through our feed and we're like, oh my God, that person's doing that, I could never do that, like, that's amazing. And then you feel shitty about yourself for whatever reason. I look at what people are doing and I think, thank you for showing me what's possible. Like, when you talk about words being powerful, that's what my mantra is. Thank you for showing me what's possible. Because if they can do it, they're showing it's literally freaking possible. And just as another, like, thing that I've done through growing my business and just changing my life, I've pivoted many times in my life. I love seeing someone who's super successful and thinking they're just amazing. And then I go back into whatever the oldest podcast is that I can find of theirs. And I listen to the crap that they had to overcome. And I'm like, oh, you're not perfect after all, because they're not trying to show perfection, but that is what the highlight reel typically shows. So, like, listening to Shay McGee talk about whatever as she's going through growing pains with her business, or Amber Lewis for Amber Interiors. Like, I love hearing how people get started because of the how, and, like, okay, then what did you need to overcome? And then what was another roadblock? And, like, we're constantly dealing with obstacles and setbacks and challenges or whatever, because that is life. And it's learning how to navigate, build resilience, and be optimistic and continue to grow through there. So I don't even know what the question was, but, like, I have a vision, and I like to other people to have a vision, and, like, we can get there. And as designers, right, you can envision a room and you know all the details that you need to incorporate into that space. And, like, what do you start with first? Okay, you do a space plan, you need a rug, you need whatever. It's the same with building your life. It's It's like, okay, what skills do I need? What do I need to get rid of? Who do I need to get rid of? Who the hell is draining me and saying like, oh, that's great, but you know, this person had this problem and I heard this terrible story. Like, stop talking to those people. Like, who you surround yourself with is really important, and who you're exposed to is extremely important as well.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think there are, I'm not an expert, but I know that there are studies that prove that to be true, especially like I've always said that to my children, right? Like, who you hang out with is a good indicator of where you're going to land, right? So can we talk about your process? Like, how would someone reach out to you? And then what would that process look like working with Jamie?
Yeah. So I highly recommend checking out my, my website. So it's authenticarmor.com, and armor is spelled with a U for the Canadian version. Yeah. because it's an amazing website. So I built this platform to literally give back to people to say, like, you can change your life. You do not need to pay me for anything. I have put everything on there completely for free, except for my coaching. That is not free. You can pay me a shit ton of money and I will change your life. It'll be awesome. I know my worth.
Yeah.
So the website is amazing. So if you go through the private coaching section of the website, you can fill out the inquiry form. If you read about my story and you like what you see and it sounds like it's in alignment with you, it might not resonate at all, and you can get off the website and go live your best life somewhere else. So filling out the inquiry form, and then if that sounds like it would be a good fit for what I have to offer, because it's a holistic approach, I want to talk about everything in your whole life. Then it starts with a paid consultation. Oh my God, I'm not designing right now. Yeah. It's a paid single session. That's how we start off. And I talk for 90 minutes. I try to not talk for 3 hours with the person, because we just do a deep dive, like what we're doing right here, going over time, making That's people cry. It's my favorite thing in the world. We do a deep dive. If you're not willing to do any sort of self-reflection and you just want strategy and you want to be told exactly what you need to do and here are all the different steps, I'm not your person. I will look at your whole life. I'll listen to you talk and I will just guide. So the reason why I do private coaching, not just because I don't like talking to big groups, is because I want it to be completely tailored and customized for that person. So I can't say to you, oh, we'll achieve all of your goals in the next month, because I don't know how much shit you dealt with in your childhood that you need to work through and let go of and start to reframe. So it is very customized to the person. And with my very unique background in life in general and the amount of freaking humans I have had the opportunity to connect with, from literally homeless to top celebrities, and I've been to private parties with a ton of people and I have picked the brains of so many people. I've been in the homes of the top paid athletes. Like, I've had an amazing life, and I have always been curious about, how did you get to this point? Do you love your life? Is this happy? Are you happy? Whatever. So I take everything that is in my brain, in my resources catalog, and I'm constantly learning and growing. And I want to give that to the person that I get to spend time with over Zoom, and hopefully in person someday. I'll do different things. But I want to change lives in whatever way I can. Yeah.
I could see that group coaching couldn't work. I feel like people wouldn't be authentic. I feel like as soon as there's more ears and more things, people would keep a lot closer to the chest, just because it's a group and you never know where that's going to land. So I could see that that would be a hindrance for you. I could see that the connection one-on-one would be a much deeper, more meaningful process for sure. So Jamie, where would people find you, other than we do know that Armor is spelled with a U because we're Canadian? Where else would people find you? Your social media handles?
On Instagram, it's at authentic.armor. So there's a dot in between. I do not like Facebook. So I only go on there for groups. I do not communicate with people through there, just Instagram and the website. But I love being social on Instagram. I run my own account and we can talk about whatever you want through DMs. Let's just chat.
Oh, that's how we can reconnect it, was through your, I didn't, at first I was like, what is this? And then I know her. Well, I'm super proud of you. I hope you learned to be proud of yourself, because I think you're amazing for you. Like, the life that you have led already at your young age and what you've accomplished is just phenomenal. And I love that you're giving it back. That's what this podcast was for, was to give back in ways that I love the era that we're in, where I'm also very hungry for information, always have been for business for me and my, you know, and this is what these tools are giving back at this. I mean, I can't imagine what it's going to be in another 10 years, but I love that you're doing the same thing and giving back to people in a way that hopefully it helps them live bigger, better lives.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you for your time today. I appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you for having me.